That was William Elliott reading Charles Scribner IV in New York in 1953. This is Illustrating the Wind in the Willows by Ernest H. Shepherd, and William Elliott reading it.
There are certain books that should never be illustrated. It's true in very many senses, and I had felt that The Wind in the Willows was one of these. Perhaps, if it had not already been done, I should not have given way to the desire to do it myself. But it so happened that when the opportunity was offered me, I seized upon it gladly. The characters that Kenneth Graham chose for his story, the little animals from the woods, the fields, and the waters of England, and which he portrayed with such sympathy and understanding, showed to me how clearly he had seen into the mind of a child. Indeed, they had grown from the letters and stories he used to write from time to time to amuse his own child. Mother Earth has a lot to offer to those who try to understand her, and to know the ways of the little people who live, who burrow, who scratch and store, and who climb and swim, whose short lives are spent in the hunt for a livelihood, be it worms or beetles, nuts or fish. Like us human folk, they are forever busy. Mole, the field worker, the digger. Rat, the perfect waterman, wise about currents, eddies, and whatnot. Badger, big and stout, uncouth but oh, how dependable, a champion of the smaller folk. And Toad, the impossible and lovable, never out of a scrape, and never ceasing to boast. These are not caricatures, they are the real thing, brought to life by a man who loved them and all that they stand for. And it was he who told me where they lived and where to find them. Kenneth Graham was an old man when I went to see him. Not sure about this new illustrator of his book, he listened patiently while I told him what I hoped to do. Then he said, "I love these little people. Be kind to them." Just that. But sitting forward in his chair, resting upon the arms, his fine, handsome head turned aside, looking like some ancient Viking. Warming, he told me of the river nearby, of the meadows where Mole broke ground that spring morning, of the banks where Rat had his house, of the pools where Otter hid, and of wild wood way up on the hill above the river. A fearsome place, but for the sanctuary of Badger's home, and of Toad Hall. He would like, he said, to go with me to show me the riverbank that he knew so well, but now I cannot walk so far, and you must find your way alone. So I left him, and guided by his instructions, I spent a happy autumn afternoon with my sketchbook. It was easy to imagine it all, sitting by the riverbank, or following the wake of little bubbles that told me that Rat was not far away. Across the water lay the flat meadows, and somewhere there I knew that Mole was, even now making ready his bed for the winter, to wait for the first breath of spring. And again beyond, on the rising ground, the great expanse of wild wood, with Badger laying in his winter stores. Toad, I imagined, would be snoring in postprandial ease in his armchair away downstream at Toad Hall. I poked and pried along the riverbank to find where was Rat's boathouse, and where Mole had crossed the water to join him. And as I listened to the river noises, the little plops and ripples that mean so much to the small people, I could almost fancy that I could see a tiny boat pulled up among the reeds. Dusk was settling down on the water with a rising mist, but above the late sun was shining on the wood, a faint afterglow of autumn glory, when I turned homewards, treading carefully just in case something was underfoot. I was to meet Kenneth Graham once again. I went to his home and was able to show him some of the results of my work. Though critical, he seemed pleased, and chuckling said, "I'm glad you've made them real." We seemed to share a secret pleasure in knowing that the pictures were of the river spots where the little people lived. This is the story that I can tell of how it came about that I was to play my part in helping to bring The Wind in the Willows a little nearer to the reader. If I had not met Kenneth Graham, I should never have had the temerity to embark on the work. But he gave me encouragement that no one else could have given me. And I wish that he could have lived to have seen the finished work, whatever his verdict would have been.
Tony.